All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, our last day in studio, as tomorrow we will be coming to you live from Nick's place.
Well, I'm glad you said something.
On Rocky Ridge. But until then, completely for the next three hours, we're here. I am here to be the verbal calendar for Barry Laminack. Show starts at 1,
I mean,
Barry.
Oh, thanks.
Just giving you that little reminder.
I was here at 12:35.
You like the reminders? I'm giving you another one.
I totally forgot we were at Nick's place tomorrow. And I have it on my calendar. So I would have seen it in the morning when I woke up.
Didn't we just 15 minutes ago talk about our schedules for today and tomorrow in terms of guests and such and go, no, we can't have guests tomorrow in studio because we're going to be on location?
No, that was earlier in the week.
No, we just said that
in the
studio. Did we not, Nick?
No.
Did we not talk about it when he was sitting there?
No.
And I said, Nick, Cody and Sarah.
Choose wisely.
Choose wisely. I would have to side
with
Joel.
It's like, thank you.
Yeah, I said it
in front of
you.
It's on. Both of you. I'm not having this
I feel
today.
Like today's going to be a good day.
Why?
Guest-filled show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barry rocking the Welcome to the Land t-shirt.
Okay.
Which always brings good luck and
does it?
Good things and good karma, right?
I think I'm getting too fat for this shirt. I should have got an XL.
That's a large?
Okay.
I'm not saying it because of the way it fits.
I realize the sleeves are a little tight,
no.
Joel. You didn't need to point it out like that.
Okay. I mean, look, I wasn't saying it for that. I just want to get right into the meat of
the
think we're going to have a great show because the Astros bullpen was solid.
Oh, Jesus.
You knew he was going to lead with that.
Closer.
Did you see my tweet?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Soon.
I was like, it's on tomorrow.
I stayed up through the, I didn't take my sleeping pill until the ninth inning. Or the eighth, bottom of the eighth, right? And so I'm dozing and I'm like, as soon as, okay, what is it? And it's like, two run home? No!
Yeah.
I immediately grabbed my phone.
Yeah.
Shut up, Joel. I don't want to hear it. A win is a win.
Boy, that Will Harris is good, though.
Oh, now you don't get to
There's
hop on
one
that
guy,
bandwagon.
I'm not.
No.
Just, I give credit where credit is due. Will Harris is back to doing what he does.
I tried to explain that to you months ago, and you weren't with it.
I don't listen to you. I'm just talking about the rest of the bullpen.
Look, I'm going to be real honest with you. I've given up on this bullpen.
Oh, boy. That's a huge 180.
I'm so tired of defending these schlubs, going out there and just giving up runs. Like,
at least I dream of Bagini. Bagini has been on fire. Oh, boy.
Bro, like, if it wasn't for Will Harris.
You're exactly right.
I don't know. I tried my hardest to defend them. I mean, you can't knock the results. They still got a win. Osuna still gets a save.
No, he didn't
get a save. Yeah, because it was four runs.
Yeah, he entered
because he had warmed up. They shouldn't have warmed him up. Mm-hmm. But whatever. And then we can get into that because there were some.
I mean, he would have had an excuse if he didn't warm up. And then they brought him
See, that was uncalled for.
That
was uncalled. Now his ERA is over 3, and I've been touting how good his ERA was. So
why don't you go back and calculate
what
his ERA since the All-Star break is now?
Can we agree on a couple things? I'm not going to defend the bullpen anymore. We agree on that.
Amen.
Can we also agree that Garrett Cole's out of the Cy Young race after last night?
Oh, no way.
Okay.
Didn't get the win, but my goodness, 14 strikeouts?
Yeah. 6 innings, 4 earned runs, ballooned his ERA to 2.85.
He's fine.
It's over.
It's not.
It's Justin Verlander. You were wrong. I was right.
Nope.
That's
taking
out.
That one to the finish line, Chief.
Oh, are you?
Yep.
Okay.
I am.
Well, your saving grace is that Verlander likes to give up home runs.
Yeah, and he's got a little bit of a temper issue lately.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Wins are wins are wins.
I've already called and made sure that the Detroit Free Press writer is going to and the home plate umpire are going
road.
To be following him wherever he goes.
Don't we have a day game with them?
Yeah,
they start at 1 o'clock. Are you going to put it on for us, Nicholas, so we can watch it?
Yes, sir.
No, Nick and Charlie were watching tennis.
Oh, really?
They were kind of dialed into
Does
that.
Does it surprise anyone that Charlie was watching tennis?
No. No, and then I asked him, I said, Charlie, are you going to be going to Minute Maid? It's a day game. And he goes, I'm going to have to see how traffic goes on 59.
See.
And I said, well, there was an accident on 59 coming in. He's like, Okay. All right.
You ain't right.
Just packed up
stuff. You make it sound like Charlie has Tourette's when you do that, man.
Yeah. That's okay. You kind of do.
I'll see you at Nick's place tomorrow, and goodbye.
He didn't use any big words?
Nah.
Out of the Webster Dictionary that we don't understand or comprehend?
He thought about it, but he had to decide if he was going to the Astros game.
You are so wrong on so many levels.
You heard him, and then he goes, Barry here? All right, then. I'll let the door open. And that was it.
Yeah, Charlie is a man of many words until the microphone is closed. And then he's like, doesn't talk a lot.
Mm-mm. It's very true.
Off air, Charlie is not a talker. On air, won't shut up. But that's kind of his job, so I get it.
Well, he leans on his sidekick a lot, too.
Oh. Oh, he doesn't.
That's right.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Hey, we got a ton of guests today. We've got, is Cody joining us
gotta
at 1:30?
Got to verify Cody Stu's going to join us. I don't know if you saw him. I haven't seen him yet.
I saw him.
He's I saw him in the hallway. I'm assuming it's 1:30.
I saw Raheel cursed him. So
why was Raheel?
I don't know, but 1:30 we should be good for Cody Stutes,
who's also a Heisman voter, by the way.
Yes, that's scary,
very scary.
2:30 Sigmund Bloom will join us, and 3:00 Mo Ammer will join us.
Mo's going to be in studio, right?
Yeah, Mo will be in studio. He's in town for he's touring right now promoting his Netflix special, The Vagabond, and he's at the Houston Improv this weekend. So
very cool.
Yeah, we're moving FEF Friday up a day somewhat for our Comedian of the Week. We're still going to feature him tomorrow because I want to plug the show for him. But, he was nice enough to come in the studio today, so that'll be fun.
That should be a good time. So lots of football, and, of course, the Texans' preseason tune-up tonight before the start of the regular season.
Do you plan to watch this debacle of a game?
Well, I'll check it. I'll just check in periodically to see what's going down with it. But really, no, because... One, if I see any of the ones, I'm going to be very upset.
You won't. You won't see any of the ones.
And I've already seen enough of the twos to know that they're threes. if they're that good.
That's probably...
Especially on the line.
Here's the dilemma I have tonight. It's either... The Astros are going to be over with.
True.
So by the time we leave, it'll be eighth, ninth inning, depending on how long the game takes. Mm-hmm. So no Astros tonight. So I'm either stuck watching... The Texans' fourth string left tackle
right.
get demolished by the Rams, or I'm stuck watching the Aggies just play, go gangbusters on the Texas State Bobcats. Do you understand what the line is?
I we were talking about this. You and I were talking about this about a week ago, and we were talking about the cupcake non-conference schedules and things like that. But I did find out that the average that a small school gets for playing a school like A&M, want to guess?
$50,000.
$4 million. So in a lot of cases, they're saying that this one game
will fund the
entire athletic department for the year.
That's crazy.
So that's why you see these small schools that are clamoring to play these non-conference games.
So here's the spread in the A&M versus Texas State Bobcats game, minus 33. A&M is giving up. When the game starts, if you're betting, it's 33-0 Texas State at kickoff. That's insane. Do you understand what the money line is? It's minus 10,000. You would have to bet $10,000 to win 100.
That's crazy.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Now, you could also bet 100 and win 2,000 because Texas State is a plus 2,000.
They cover, yeah.
But Aggie is minus 10,000. That is stupid. Why? I don't even understand why you would play a game like this. That's just... The over-under is 57.
Well, you understand why Texas State's playing it.
Sure.
You don't understand why A&M's playing it.
Over-under is 57. I think I would take the over because I don't feel like... I mean, A&M might put up 100.
I think they're definitely going to be running it up, yeah.
And on GameCast on ESPN, their chance of winning the game, 97.6%.
God, that seems low.
It really does. If you're a minus 10,000 and you're not 99.9%...
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of weird. What's the 2.4% chance? What do you think the Texas State Bobcat coach is like? Guys, I got good news. ESPN is giving us 2.4% chance of winning this game. And now I'm not trying to be dumb and dumber here, but they're telling us there's a chance. We can do this. And all the players are like, no, we can't.
I took $100 of the $4 million we're going to get as an athletic department. I put it on y'all. So y'all can win this thing, and I can come out with $2,000.
I don't know what game is going to be worse, really. Is it going to be the Texans-Rams game, or is it going to be this A&M-Texas State?
It's going to be neck and neck.
It's going to be pretty awful.
But here's
to watch
what I suggest
one.
You do. Do you have the NFL Network?
No.
Oh, that sucks on your part. Because if you have the NFL Network.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the Sunday Ticket.
If you go to the, you know, if you go to the NFL Network channel, they normally just span the globe and just fill you in on everything going in on every game.
Spanning
and
when the globe.
When the, you know, different, any significant either injuries or big plays or whatever. Therefore, you don't have to stomach the whole preseason game.
Okay. I might do that.
There's a suggestion.
Or I might just watch Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
With the wife. I watched Chappelle's special last night.
There was a lot of comments on that.
We need to talk about the Chappelle special today. And obviously with Mo being here, he features for Chappelle. So we can, or opens for him, I should say. We can discuss that. And then I also want to talk about something that was brought to my attention online that really pissed me off the more I thought about it and seeing his reaction and getting the details. But Patrick Randall had pointed out something that the Chronicle did regarding a local comedian, Ali Siddiq. Actually, he's a national touring comedian, but he's based locally here. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that as well, because I got a bone to pick with the Houston Chronicle.
Good, because when I had shown that to you.
Yeah, at first, I thought it was an interview. So it changed the dynamic when I found out what the article was.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, yeah, no, they probably interviewed him, and he talked about it. And so we'll get into the whole thing, because there's...
So it's a jam-packed show. We've got lots of stuff to get to, whether it be topical and or interview-based, but we are going to have it all for you today, and you can always be a part of the show. So you know that you can tweet us at all times, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. You can also reach us via the HR&P listener line, which is 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number, and you can be a part of the show as well. But we love our suspects, and we're going to get it all going next as we continue to roll on all the way till 4 o'clock right here on ESPN. 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on a jam-packed Thursday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. There will be several in with us today. Cody Stutes, 1:30. Mo Ammer, 3 o'clock. Sigmund Bloom via the phone at 2:30. So get your fantasy football questions ready, as we always tell you. You know how we do it. We take calls first, and then our digital questions are lined up for a rapid fire. So if you want to call, be ready to call prior to 2:30, leading into that break. And if you want to get your questions to us before then we will line them up, tag them, flag them, and get them ready for air.
Yeah, I don't know how much rapid fire we would do prior to week one. That would probably be next week, right?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people still have questions.
I would agree. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I think there's going to be questions about, like, for example, McKinnon in San Francisco. He had hurt his knee. He was supposed to be the number one. They held him back a little bit of camp. Now they're here. Now I'm hearing and reading that there's a chance he might miss significant time.
Ooh.
So, you know, is that the case? And if so, who's going to fill in for him? Things like that. Yep. So, there, you know, and Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott and all these different questions that are out there and, you know, dealing with the aftermath of Luck walking away. So. Lots of questions to have answers to, hopefully, from Sigmund.
So someone texted the show and said, will Randy Lemon be on the show today? I need some lawn talk. So no, Randy works for a competing radio station.
That's correct.
But yesterday, going off air,
yes, you did,
we kind of teased the fact that there was something that I wanted to discuss with you about Randy Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we all know my affinity for the lawn care.
Your sickness, yeah.
No. we know, well... Yep. It developed into an addiction. I wouldn't call it a sickness.
Nick, would you call it a sickness?
But it was out of,
I agree.
It
Thank
was,
you.
Okay. It was out of necessity. Mm-hmm. because of that stupid ass yard I have. So I would listen. In fact, this was back when I was only doing Houston Game Day, and we didn't have the show yet. It hadn't started. But I would drive in on Sundays. Nick knows this. He can confirm. He was producing because they would make fun of me on Sundays. I would drive in listening to Randy Lemon. I would call Randy Lemon and be like, hey, Randy, I think I have chinch bugs, but I'm not sure how to. And, you know, and I would sometimes give a fake name because I didn't want people to know it was me because, you know, some people knew who I was and I didn't want people to be like, isn't that Barry from. So I'd be like, yeah, it's John and Katie. So I would, and then I just stopped faking it at some point. I was like, I don't care, whatever. But he would give me advice, and then I would be on his Facebook page. So you could say that I'm a big fan of Randy Lemon.
Oh, you could say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you were kind enough to, for my birthday, you reached out to him because, of course, you know everybody in this city.
I try.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. do. I kind of hate you for it.
I got my reps.
You got your what?
I get my reps.
Your reps?
Yeah.
So, for my birthday, you reached out to Randy and asked if he would come on the show. We couldn't make that happen. He was going to call. Then he forgot.
He was going to Facebook message you.
Because I don't matter.
And he forgot.
And, you know, it's cool though, Randy. But no, so that all goes by. That was back at the end of May. Well, Tuesday, when I was out, actually, on my Facebook, I get a friend request from Randy Lemon. And I was like, oh my God.
This is like Nick, this is like his Alyssa Milano type.
Yeah. No, this is a big deal.
I was literally like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh yeah, that's Randy Lemon. He wants to be my friend. Randy Lemon wants to be my friend. So when I accepted it, you know, on Facebook, if someone sends you a message, you don't get it if you're not friends. Or you don't necessarily, it's not easy to see. You can send people Facebook messages, but
yeah, I think they have to like accept it.
Yeah, you have to accept it. And let's be real, we probably all get some weirdo messages just doing what we do and being in the public. I know I do, and I have to ignore a bunch of them. But so I don't usually check that. If we're not friends, then I probably don't need to hear from you on Facebook. Twitter and Instagram is a different story. I try to respond to everybody. But so I didn't see that he had sent me a message. Mm-hmm. But he sends me the friend request, and as soon as I accept it, I get his message. And he's like, hey, man, you know, Joel had told me that you're a big fan and you do the yard and that, you know, you listen. And I was going to reach out to you and I'm sorry I didn't. But I didn't know you guys had a show until Joel told me. And now that I listen, I really enjoy it. I think you guys are funny. I didn't know you were a stand-up comic, but knowing your background, I dabbled in it a little bit. I got to hang out with guys like Bill Hicks and Sam Kinison. It was really cool. And then I was like, oh, my God. Oh my God, I don't know what to say. But I was like, yeah, I'm kind of a garden guru now because of you. He was like, what, really? I was like, yeah, we have. He goes, is your league name really Lawn and Order? I was like, yeah, no, that's totally legit. So it was really cool, man, to chop it up with him a little bit on Facebook and talk radio. He goes, well, when I retire, you already have the background. Now you have the knowledge. You can just take over Garden Line.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
Like, hell yes. Dream come
get
true.
Get it off our plate. I get put to, it right yeah. there.
No, I can drop you two losers yeah. and just do the yeah. Garden Line. Oh, God.
You a garden hoe and a weed whacker.
I wouldn't have you idiots cut me off every time I wanted to talk about St. Augustine and chinch bugs. And by the way, it is chinch bug season, so we need to be careful. But Randy sent out a message on that. You guys would know if you were friends with him. So.
Since I am, I've got several long messages that he left me, too, as part of all of this.
He did say
that he called us both the P word, too, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
Because he heard about the roach conversation.
He did. He goes, you guys are a bunch of Virginias.
Yeah.
Like, but what are you scared? Because he said, look, you don't have to be scared of those big tree roaches. They're not nasty. They feed on dry trees, and when they get too wet, they come indoors, which I always thought it was the opposite. I always thought they were coming indoors to get water, but apparently that's not true. And according to him, they're not like disgust. Like the little bitty roaches, those are the disgusting roaches. That's when you know you're living foul. But when you get those big tree roaches, he's like, they're not gross. They don't have disease or anything. They're just a bug. And I was like, no, I'm going to tell you right now, Randy, it's all good. I like you and everything, but I'm still scared to death. If that roach flies, I'm out. I will leave my wife. I'll push her down to get away from it. Nope. I'm not messing with them nasty ass roaches. Can't do it. You can call me a Virginia all you want, but I don't play with them roaches. So yeah, it was really cool. It was cool for him to send the message and, you know, say he meant to reach out to me on the birthday.
Yep,
but
yep.
That was really cool. Yep. That was fun.
He sent me all that, and he also said, and I hate to burst your bubble, but he said, I explained to Burry that the wood roaches, and he spelled it B-U-R-Y.
He can do no wrong. It's okay. He
spelled it Burry. And then at the very end, he put, lots of verbal text misspellings, I'm driving.
See,
so
I get
forget
it.
The voice-to-text method. We're just going to try text-to-drive.
I totally, look.
Randy's a great dude.
He can do no wrong in my eyes. There's nothing he could have. He could misspell it. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
He's a great dude.
Yep.
So, better late than never. The summer's not over yet, and he got that in. So there you go. So our garden weasel got himself a little bit of love from Randy Lemon.
Yeah,
and
we thanks. I'm the garden weasel.
Yeah,
appreciate
and we can
that.
Move on. So we'll turn the page from gardening to football as we get ready for that big tilt tonight between the Rams and the Texans at NRG. Cody Stute's going to join us next. Give you a couple of things to look for if you do want to watch that game tonight in terms of position battles, guys that might be on the bubble, things like that, and his Heisman vote, which is a very important thing, as he's tweeted about. So we'll have all that coming up next as we get to the second half hour of the show. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. And now joining us via the Gal Media Studios microphone number one is none other than a man with a Heisman vote, a man who covers football like a mother, a man that I am proud to call Cody Stutes.
That's me.
What's up, Stutes?
I'm happy to be here again, gentlemen. Thank you to Twin Peaks for having me in. We don't have to talk all Texans, I mean, because basically the only thing we need to talk about with the Texans is how they have immensely botched this whole Clowney thing.
They botched a lot. So before we get to Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, Twin Peaks, and the fact that with five area locations, you can hit up your local Twin Peaks either for your fantasy football draft or for college and pro football viewing pleasure, as well as Astros and everything else. It's your one-stop shop for everything. If you're outside the house watching sports, looking for good food and drink, it's Twin Peaks. So we got into this pretty heavily in the last day or two, this Clowney thing. We've heard Aaron Wilson say five teams have talked to the Texans. Seahawks, Jets, Eagles, Redskins, but the only one that really has engaged is the Dolphins, and everybody's kicking around scenarios. Is there any scenario where they even get into a discussion about Laramie Tunsil, or no. Is it just draft picks?
No, there's no – Laramie Tunsil's not on the table. I read that Kenyon Drake's not on the table as well. So there's not a player on the Dolphins that you'd be excited about getting outside of Laramie Tunsil. Like, there's not a – like, Kenny Stills does nothing for you. Will Fuller's better than him. The other running backs in the room do nothing for you. They're not a legitimate starter that can pair with Duke Johnson. It's Laramie Tunsil, but they're not giving up Laramie Tunsil. He was the 17th best pass blocker in football last year, according to Pro Football Focus. Like, the guy's still young. They've got him for another couple of cost-controlled years. Like, they're not trading Laramie Tunsil. Like, I understand why you'd ask that if you're the Houston Texans, but that's counterproductive to the Dolphins' long-term plans, which is clearly what they have their eyes on if they're going to make a trade for a guy like Jadeveon Clowney.
Who's responsible for botching this?
Bill O'Brien.
Ryan Gain doesn't share any of this blame before he was ushered out. Is this why he was ushered out?
So
Cal McNair, you're going to put this all on Bill O'Brien, 100%.
I think right now it's on Bill O'Brien, because if they hadn't tried something in the past few weeks to make something like this happen with trade discussions and things like that, like, ultimately Jadeveon Clowney would just show up and he'd play, and there wouldn't have been this whole... If you remember early in training camp, there was a report he's going to show up right after the Cowboys game.
Yep.
Get ready, play in the Saints game, play his year out, and then they talk about a deal then, or maybe it's a franchise tag with a trade then. But for whatever reason, Bill O'Brien, who's calling the shots, has decided to start shopping. That's hurt Clowney's feelings. Now, he's exercising to the full extent of what he's allowed to do with the franchise tag. He sort of flipped it on the Texans now. Now he has all the power because, I mean, he could just not show up. Now it's going to cost him. He could just not show up, play half the year with the Texans, and then come back into a situation where either they can tag him, he can fight that at that point because the tag's there to negotiate a long-term deal in good faith. That would not be the case if they've been trying to trade the guy. So Clowney holds a ton of power in this situation. And, yeah, Gain has a little bit because they were shopping him. They shopped him, I guess, to the Chiefs. But Brian Gain, I mean, he wasn't doing anything without the ultimate approval of Bill O'Brien. And it felt like whatever deal he did shop, whatever he did want to do, you know, before the draft, around the draft, it didn't come to fruition. It wasn't what they thought. And now they're not getting anything close to what they were shopping for then.
One name you haven't mentioned is Cal McNair. What is his role in all of this?
Cal McNair strikes me as the type of man that looks at the situation and says, I'm not a football guy. You guys are football guys. I hired you, so you figure it out.
Okay.
That's how he strikes me, just because of his background in business. A lot of these owners don't do the Jerry Jones. A lot of these owners don't get directly involved. Like, there's very few that are directly involved in those situations. Rarely do you see them come in outside of maybe finishing and closing the deal. Arthur Blank with Julio Jones a couple years ago, probably in the next couple of days too. So McNair strikes me as the type of guy, and I don't know this, but he strikes me as the type of guy that says, look, Bill O'Brien, you're the head coach. You have your, you know, group that is the GM thing. Figure this thing out. I'm staying out of this. Now, if he walked down there and said, well, keep Jadeveon Clowney, make him happy, and let's get this thing together, I think you'd ultimately have to do it.
Okay. So we know that there's not a lot to look for tonight, except for hopefully everybody staying healthy. So I want to get to this running back situation, because we know obviously losing Lamar Miller hurts this team a great deal. And everybody's kicking around their own scenarios and solutions for who they bring in to possibly upgrade the position. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are they going to do in terms of running back?
I don't believe that the true complement to Duke Johnson is currently on the roster. It just feels so far-fetched to think that Caron Higdon or Damari Crockett would be the guy that's going to share that time with Duke Johnson. You're certainly not going to take Duke Johnson and use him in the Lamar Miller role. That's not maximizing his set. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, but that's hopefully not what they're going to do. So I don't think the backups on this roster, or the complement to Duke Johnson, is what I'm saying. I don't think he's on the roster right now. And so you're going to have to see a situation where rosters get cut down Saturday. The Texans may cut down to 53 and just have the one guy ready to move out in case they see a veteran running back that they want. I don't think there'd be a trade. I just don't see the need to do that, because a name that's worth picking up is going to get cut. So I don't think you would need to trade anything to get a compliment to Duke Johnson. Because that's an important thing, is you're not getting a backup to Duke Johnson as much as you're getting a guy that's going to share the running back load with Duke Johnson.
And so we know that's going on with the running back. At least they don't have to do that with offensive line. What are they going to do with offensive line? Because that's a disaster.
Oh, man. I think their offensive line's pretty much set.
You don't think there's a chance they're going to go out and do the same thing you just said about running back to try and find an offensive lineman or two that might even be able to start?
I don't. Because if a guy's worth starting, then he's not leaving another squad. You know,
well, I mean, if it's there could be cap casualties.
Okay, yeah. If there's a cap casualty, then yeah, I could see them bringing it in. But at that point, you're, you know, less than a week away, or you're right at a week away from the first game. Can he pick stuff up enough to the point where you feel comfortable putting him out there? You know, maybe that's a different situation for left tackle or right tackle. I mean, I think they're fine at right tackle with Chantrell Henderson. I think the young guys are going to start at guard. If it really gets center popped up, I'd love to see them move on from Nick Martin. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd love to see that. And then, I mean, left tackle, I don't know. Matt Khalil's the guy that's going to start the season.
He's good, too.
Matt Khalil's not going to finish the season at left tackle, though.
What's going to be one of the surprises we see come cuts? What that you think? What's going to be maybe somebody that gets cut that we weren't expecting, or somebody that gets kept that we weren't expecting?
Xavier Crawford was a draft pick, a six-round pick out of Central Michigan, really fast. Had a really fast his pro day, had a poor showing at the combine, said that the combine situation kind of messed him up, and he didn't like his workouts and his interviews. Then the guy got to camp and he wasn't any good. So yeah, that's the unfortunate part. He wasn't very good. I'd be shocked if they kept him. There's enough guys competing for that spot at corner that they could keep that, or they could keep a safety over him being the last corner, because I just don't think he brings a lot to the table. I think Tywan Jones is going to make this team, and you're going to look around and say, why? Well, he's got a relationship with the special teams coach from his days in Oakland. He doesn't help in the running back situation that you're in now. He's got 44 carries in 8 years in the NFL, so he's not a guy that carries the ball, but he may be their special teams ace, you know, from that position. And So those are the two. Like, Tywan Jones is going to make it, and you're going to say why, and then Xavier Crawford's going to be a draft pick that gets cut.
What about Gillespie? Is he making this team?
Oh, he's okay. Absolutely making this team. Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
That's a great story, too, and that's fun. It's not just because of the fact that he's from here and the 12th man at A&M. He plays his ass off, and when you watch him on special teams, he is a difference maker. He gets down there, and he makes plays happen.
The thing he's here for is obviously the special teams, but he helps in the fullback situation a little bit. The blocking still leaves a little bit to be desired. He's had a couple of bad whiffs, a couple of bad misses. He had the big special teams flub in Dallas that he has to clean up before they start trusting him at that situation in the regular season. He catches the ball way better than I thought he did. Like, I knew he was athletic, and I knew he had a little bit of scoot to him, but his hands have been really impressive throughout camp. So that's another toy, to another weapon to play with Bill O'Brien. He's going to have to get the ball out quick, and you throw it out to those running backs out in the flat to the fullback. That's a way to get out quick.
Talking about guys that are going to make the roster, though, I want to know two things. Webb's going to make this team with A.J. McCarron coming back. Okay, and Webb's, because he's a special teamer, right?
Right.
Okay, and then what are they going to do with their reserves on with receiver?
I feel like it's probably Vincent Smith is the fifth guy, and then Tyron Johnson trying to sneak him onto the practice squad. And I don't know if that's going to work out for them. It might, though, just because of the big cutdowns. Everybody cuts down everything and tries to sneak their own guy, so they don't have a lot of time to roster watch on other teams. But I would just say Vincent Smith's probably the fifth guy. Tyron Johnson cut for the practice squad.
Okay. Any big surprises defensively that this team, that fans need to be on the lookout for?
Well, with no Clowney, if he's really not going to be here, Davin Bellamy is a guy that's going to make the team as a depth guy for pass rusher, and it's sort of as the outside linebacker. That's a name you may need to become familiar with, and that's the name that will become familiar with free agency should Clowney come back.
Pretty sure I just saw an article pop up on a feed somewhere where they have already extended Scarlett.
Yeah, Brandon Scarlett's on this team for sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was definitely on the
team.
Well,
I'm just saying they gave him an extension.
Yeah. So he's locked up through 2020. So he had a deal that expired this year. They added the year for next year. So he's good through next year. He's the guy that plays Clowney's position.
Kind of tells you something.
Yeah, they were looking at a situation where Clowney could be gone, Merciless could be gone, and Scarlett could be gone, and then they'd have had their three outside linebackers all gone, and then they'd have looked like fools if none of those guys are there. They're still kind of like fools because the best one's not signed and not getting ready to play.
So we respect you, Cody, and we love you, and that's why you're on the air. But I don't think people realize that besides just respecting you because we know you, that you have a Heisman vote.
I do. I have a real Heisman vote. I don't just say, like, oh, here's what I think would win the Heisman. Like, I actually get to vote in a vote that matters in the Heisman at the end of the year.
Did you win that in the lottery? Or?
I did not. I asked for it, and I was granted it.
That's really cool. You just said, hey, can I vote for the Heisman? And they said, sure.
But way back in the day, it was the season before Jameis Winston won. I emailed the Heisman Trust, asked what I need to do to be considered. I got put on a waiting list. They had three guys retire from voting. I was the third guy on the waiting list, I got in there.
Always got to like when the old guys die.
Yep.
Or
very,
retire,
very
whatever.
Cool. So inside track on the Heisman right now.
I mean, everybody's going to say Tua and Trevor Lawrence, and that's certainly
probably
where you're going to start. Justin Herbert's going to have a lot of buzz because he has the pro buzz.
Oregon,
The Oregon quarterback. Look, De'Aaron King was on pace to have the most single-season touchdowns ever last year for Houston. He was on pace to have 64 and break Colt Brennan's record from Hawaii a couple years ago. If he does that, he should win the Heisman. If he scores 64 touchdowns this year, he should win the Heisman. Tough task for them to start with Oklahoma.
Will he start by getting a win against the Sooners?
I don't believe he will start by getting a win by the Sooners, but that's going to be a close one.
No love for Khalil Tate?
Think they cover?
Khalil Tate I think they're definitely going to cover.
Wow. Yeah,
like 24.5 points right now, I think. I think they're definitely covering.
Okay.
I don't trust Kevin Sumlin to keep it humming over there.
Really?
I think Sumlin's...
the only thing he can do well.
I think Sumlin is mailing it in out there.
Really?
They look so unprepared against Hawaii.
Yeah.
John Granato's on line one.
They should have ran Hawaii off the field, and they just... I mean, Hawaii beat them.
It's game one. But that's the kind of thing where I don't think that the team is going to be good.
They were setting up for a 38-yard field goal. They got to delay a game. They got a false start. And then Kevin Sumlin called a timeout.
Oof.
Yeah. But
thankfully, the kicker bailed him out and hit the field goal.
Right.
But
that doesn't, I mean, to me, that take aside how bad Kevin Sumlin is as a head coach and the job he's doing, offensively, he's really good.
Sure.
I think Tate is not in the discussion at all.
I think the win loss record keeps him from being. Keeps him from being in the discussion.
Fair enough.
And then I think Lawrence takes away from the running back at Clemson. so it's tough for him. I think DeAndre Swift takes away from the quarterback at Georgia, so it's tough for either of those guys to win I think Tua's taking this thing home.
Fromm doesn't have any receivers either. We're going to see what they have. They lost all his.
Yeah, that guy's graduated and moved on. So I think Tua's taking this thing home, and I think Ellinger and Derek King are in New York with him.
Okay. Wow. Cool. There you go. Little Texas field to the Heisman voting this year. That'd be great to see. Great to see you. Appreciate you always stopping
by.
Cody Stutes brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can check out the Beyond Burger right now, where they have the Beyond Burger meat patty that you could have to take care of all of your burger needs. Yeah, but you know what? It's all the burger satisfaction without the guilt. There you go, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, wrapping up hour number one of just an information-packed first 60 minutes on the show. We'll take you all the way till 4 o'clock, and if any the next 2 hours are like the first, I mean, get the hell out of here. This is fantastic. I did want to mention to you guys, because I did kind of make this little prognostication, and it's not there yet, but the first signs are very good for the Armadillo Cowboy.
I saw that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Making a comeback.
I told you guys that Joe Johnson, after being the MVP of the Big Three, I said not only would an NBA team give him a tryout, I thought he'd end up on somebody's roster this year. And lo and behold, his first tryout is already scheduled for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Hot damn.
Good for him, because usually you get your ACLs torn when you play for the Big Three. Everybody that's gone to the Big Three has an MCL tear or an ACL tear or a knee issue.
That's the Big Three. That's the Big Three injuries.
Yeah.
Or
literally, that's why it's called the Big Three, because you either get one of three big injuries to your knee.
Yeah.
Or you get the DNP. You either are out of your mind, Lamar Odom, or out of shape, some of the other guys, where I've never seen a league before say, you three guys, you're not good.
What happened to Iverson in there? Did he blow his knee out?
No,
he just got old.
He was supposed to be in a certain city, and he was in a casino in another city, and they were like, "Yeah, this isn't working out real
well." Super surprised.
I've seen recent pictures of Iverson. I feel like he's gained a few pounds.
What? Really?
He relaxed a little bit.
I'm not saying he's fat, but I think he's gained a few pounds.
You think you could fight him and take him?
Probably not.
No.
You know what the commissioner said to him, don't you, Barry?
Oh, you AI. See?
You're gonna be okay.
You see.
Clyde's the commissioner.
I know.
I saw him doing pictures.
Don't make any friends on this show.
No, we do not. We do not. We call everybody out.
I see him doing pictures with all the players doing the handshake photo, like they do with the commish.
Oh, really?
In the NBA draft, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So Clyde's the commish.
Yeah.
And you know I'll give you. Here's the trivia question for you.
Okay.
Who was the coach of the year in the Big Three this year? I just read this.
Boy, let me see.
Who's coach in the Big Three?
Was it I Don't Care?
Well, last year's winner was Nancy Lieberman.
What?
Uh-huh.
They had a chick? That's awesome.
Staying on that theme, guess who this year's winner was?
Gary Payton.
Former WNBAer Lisa Leslie.
Oh, I was going to say Van Chancellor.
No.
I don't have Cusper, Swoops, or
Thompson. There's no way I can win this award this year. I'd like to tell you that I could win it, but I'm not going to win this award.
He does sound like that.
He does
sound like that.
And as soon as I said it, I was like, ooh, is he alive? Because I have a bad habit of
you did it
throwing
yesterday.
Names out. Who?
You asked if someone was dead yesterday and they were alive.
Well, no, I'm just saying Astros score. Was that Yordan that scored?
No, but Chirinos with a double.
Chirinos with a double, Astros score, tied it up 1-1. I have a bad habit bad habit of just throwing names out, not sure if they're alive or not. Because I don't keep up with it.
Yesterday, so do it again today.
But I don't remember when people pass away. Because sometimes they're still in my heart. And so I don't...
I'm not gonna lie. There's been wrestlers that I'm like, man, I forgot he passed away.
Everybody. What is going on with Josh Reddick right now? Why is he? That's weird. That's some weird stuff happening on the broadcast.
Julia Morales peeping into the dugout to watch Josh Reddick practice swinging with a towel.
And they're showing it. Usually they would just show the meeting at the mound and all that, but okay.
Well, so Mr. Irrelevant at the plate, 1-1, Greinke on the hill, bottom of the second, second and third, two outs for the Stros. How'd I do? Better than Robert Ford? Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, Sparky, what else you got on your plate?
So you think Joe Johnson sticks?
I said a team like Utah, who he's played for before, that they really like in terms of his leadership, what he brings in the locker room. I don't know if he's going to bring much to the regular season or to a team in terms of rotational play, but I think he could stick with a team and make a roster this year. I really do, especially younger teams that like a Denver or a team that needs some veteran leadership. I think he could help them a lot.
I wanted him to do well when he was a Rocket. It just never...
We wanted you to ask him a certain question you wouldn't have.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
Wow.
I would not do that. What was the question again? I forgot.
So how do you feel about the nickname Armadillo Cowboy?
No, that's just supposed to say, hey, Armadillo Cowboy, what did you think of the game tonight?
Yeah, I did not.
Nope.
I chickened out. Yeah. I chickened out.
I saw something on the Twitters last night.
Okay.
That I was curious to get y'all's take on. And it was a video of Harden. And there's this new thing I think they're saying he's doing where he's shooting off of one leg.
Yep.
What the hell is going on?
I saw that.
Why is this a thing, Joel?
So apparently, like, some kid approached him about and asked him, like, why do you travel so much?
Uh-huh.
He's like, wait till you see my new move. It looks like a travel, but it's not. And then he shows it off in that, I forgot which summer league game.
And it's
game.
The one-legged hop thing?
Yeah. It's like a Dirk Nowitzki-type shot, only instead of stepping back, he's kind of stepping to the side. He does a fadeaway off of 1 foot. It's ridiculous how many shots he's making with that kind of...
It goes in.
Now, I did also see a video that somebody retweeted, and it was a basketball Twitter handle talking about, let's get some things straight. You guys aren't on the same page as to what a travel really is. And I found it interesting because it talked about how when your pivot foot, you can pick your pivot foot up, you just can't put it back down. So it allows you to take a step towards the basket as long as you don't put that pivot foot down. And they were showing examples of it. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of times when you watch where you're like, oh, that's a travel. And you don't realize that they're allowed to, you know, rotate. They can pivot on that pivot foot and then pick that foot up as they step. So I was like, it's funny that this game has been around this long. And then you got guys like James Harden that are causing these types of things to come up again.
And again, give him credit because he did enough research and he worked on his game enough and found a little niche and a wrinkle that he could exploit. But again, people don't realize the Euro step. You can take two big steps on that cross when you're using a Euro step.
Yeah.
But if you do it and don't use two different feet, just do it off of 1 foot, it's a travel. You have to incorporate both feet going in two different directions. There's lots. And when we went to referee camp, every year during the broadcast meetings for all NBA broadcasters, the referees put you through a half day of training in camp. And they tell you, hey, while you're watching a guy get ready to go in the air and you're watching like what he does with the ball, we're dialed into his ankles and his feet to kind of make sure we see the last dribble when it comes up. Where is his foot? Where's the pivot? How did he take his first step? So, I mean, that's why for as much as everybody gets on the NBA officials, for the most part,
it's the
toughest job in the world. But they get a lot of calls right that even we get called out saying we called them out that they were wrong and then they prove us wrong.
You think it's harder to be an NBA official or home plate umpire?
Easily an NBA official.
Really?
Yeah, because it's at such a – there's so much going on at a higher, at faster pace. And you have the ability to use replay, not on balls and strikes, but I'm just saying baseball.
But I'm just saying
replay is so much more a part of baseball than it is.
But and
they're trying to increase it. True,
but that's the hard part. Oh,
well, hard part is hitting if you're Josh Reddick.
struck out
with two on.
Jeez.
But no, I mean Nick, like you may disagree. I think NBA is tougher than a home plate umpire.
Huh?
I think NBA referees are tougher to do than
I'd probably agree just because of the pace of play.
Yeah.
But it can't be easy to be sitting behind a guy where you really can't see the plate. You kind of know where it is. The strike zone is different for every person because of their height, and that can't be easy. but I'll...
Can't be easy to hide behind the catcher, and then he moves, and you take one in the jimmy.
That's true, too.
That could be painful.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's hour number one of the show. Got 2 hours still to go. Still got guests lined up. Fantasy football questions. Sigmund Bloom, 2:30. Mo Ammer joins us in studio. Yeah, that's right. Mo Ammer, because we bring you the best in comedy. Well, every day, but also when we have... comedians in town. So we're going to be covering a little bit with Mo. He's in town this weekend. That'll be good stuff as well. So stay tuned. Hour number two right around the corner. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.